If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 as we continue reading through 1 Timothy. We'll start reading in verse 1 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. This is God's Word, and so give your attention to it. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. That is the Word of God. In the first five verses, as you look there, Paul is dealing with false teachers and false teaching. He spells out three things there. First, that the existence of false teachers in these latter days, the days of which the Messiah has come and the Holy Spirit has been poured out, that is, even today, that their existence, the false teachers' existence, should come as no surprise to you. God has, through the Spirit, predicted that, and promised that they would come, and they have come. We see them in our own world today. God is sovereign over them. And that's what we learn first. Secondly, Paul tells us the source of the false teaching, that it comes from demons and is passed on by men of seared consciences. And then thirdly, he gives us more specific facts about these false teachers. And he sets out a theological argument showing why it's an error. Some examples of this false teaching is the requiring of not getting married, not being married. And also the requiring of abstaining from certain types of foods. Paul argues in verse 3 that God has created these things to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Marriage and food. He's given both to us in creation. And what we've been learning about there. And so to require of someone to abstain from these things is contrary to God's word. Yet when it comes to from the false teacher's mouth, it sounds good. That's what he's saying. It sounds good. It sounds godly. It sounds wise. And it's that when it comes forth, when the false teacher speaks it, for those who follow it, it would seem to them that they would be more holy if they did this. If they didn't get married, if they abstained from certain foods. It reminds me of Roman Catholicism, first off. And there's other things in our culture, even in the church today, that it should remind you of. And so what are the elders supposed to do? We know that 1 Timothy is written to Timothy from Paul, and Timothy's a pastor. He's an elder, so what are the elders supposed to do in the face of false teaching? And that's what we learn in the rest of the chapter. The elders are to instruct the church. You are to continue to reject false teaching, elders, and myself included. And we are to be nourished by sound doctrine and to impart that to everyone here, to the congregation. And we don't do this waiting until the false teachers come. We start now. And we have sound doctrine in our teaching, in our preaching now. So that when false teaching comes, we know that it is false teaching. We are to be trained in godliness and boldness and carrying out the ministry that is set before us, elders. And for us, what is necessary is verse 16. That we pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. That is your life, how you live your life, your good example before the congregation, and to your teaching, the sound doctrine. That we are to persevere in these things, for as you do, you will ensure salvation both to yourself and to those who hear you, those in the congregation. That verse applies to the church, the congregation as well. That you are to listen with eagerness to the Word of God, which comes from the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word. You are to desire that Word and desire that it be sound Word from your elders. So when the elders bring the Word to you, listen with eagerness and receive the Word of God with discernment. Remember, we've said that a few times lately, that you are to go back and make sure that what the elders are teaching, what I'm preaching, is from the Word of God, like the Bereans did in Acts. Well, that's what we see here in this word for the elders and also for the congregation. So let's pray.